spirit of things. Truth is, most people have a misunderstanding of Elul, that we know, of course, Yomim Nairoim are called Yomim Nairoim, the awesome days. Now, the truth is, in England, the word awesome is not used so often. In America, you ask a guy, how are you? You know, awesome, man, everything's awesome. You know, in England, awesome is reserved perhaps for Matan Torah and Yomim Nairoim. That's about it, you know. So, Baruch Hashem, that means people in America are having Matan Torah every day. But for us here, you know, awesome is mamash, noira, awesome. And Yom Noiraim, of course, evokes this feeling of pachad, of fear. It's noira. What's going to be? What's going to be with our lives? What's going to be for the Jewish people? Klal Yisrael. And yet Elul has a slightly different slant. Elul, of course, we know, is Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Everybody knows, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Immediately you pick up that here it's not Noira, right? When you talk about Doidi, the beloved, hopefully it's not Noira. Okay, down the line, right? 10 years down the line, the wife, Noira! No. Okay, that's at least the early stages, right? It's Anila Doidi, V'Doidi Li. It's not Noira. It's not awesome. It's not scary. It's not Pachad. It's Ahava. It's Simcha. It's closeness. The preparation for the Yom Noiraim, the awesome days, the preparation is first and foremost to realize Ahava. Everything that's going to come and everything that we're now about to prepare for, Yom Noiraim and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and all of it, is to be put into the context of Simcha. To realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not out there to scare us, to zap us, all those things that really the childish part of ourselves likes to convince ourselves that Hashem is out to get us. On the contrary, adarabba v'adarabba, from the beginning to the end, it's actually all an expression of Hashem's love of Klal Yisrael. And that is why we have Shiva the Nechemta, the 7 haftaras of Nechama, to realize the ahava that exists, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. Because first and foremost, tshuva and Elul, the spirit of Elul, which we're going to see through the parasha and a beautiful, famous Orach Chaim, the spirit of Elul firstly has to be understood in this context, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on Klal Yisrael. The Ahava is always there. A brilliant, beautiful Rambam in the end of Perish HaMishnayos in Maseches Tainis. The Rambam writes that, what is the gadlus of Tu Ba'av? Tu Ba'av, Lahoy Yom Tovim LeYisrael, says the Gemara. No greater days for the Jewish people than Tu Ba'av and Yom Kippur. No, Yom Kippur, we hear. Yom Kippur, Yom Shel Mechila V'Slicha. What could be greater than Yom Kippur? And Tu Ba'av? And the Gemara brings different reasons for Tu Ba'av. The Gemara brings 6 different reasons. The Rambam only quotes 1 in Perish HaMishnayos. Which means, L'chayra, that that's the primary reason from which all the other reasons come out. And the truth is, it's poshut that it was the first reason as well from all the other reasons the Gemara brings. And the Rambam says one thing. The Rambam says that it was known that when the Jewish people sinned with Chet HaEgel, there was a gezerah from then on that the Dor HaMidbar would have to die out. And every year, a fascinating thing took place on Tisha B'Av, that everybody would go and would dig their own graves and lie down in their graves. And some would get up the next morning and some would not. And kach hava, that's what happened for 40 years. Until the last year when they all did the same procedure, Tisha B'Av, because that was when it was Nigzar, everybody once again went to dig their graves and nobody died. They thought maybe they made a mistake in the calendar. 9th, they did it again on the 10th, the 11th, 12th, 13th. 14th. By the 15th, it was poshut, obviously. They knew now, there's no mistaking now. The moon's full moon, there's no mistaking where they are in the Chodesh now, says the Rambam. At that point, an amazing loshon, you have to see it inside, the Rambam says, Bitchu v'nafshom, they believed in themselves, and they suddenly realize HaKadosh Baruch has been misalek. He's removed his anger from the Jewish people, from Klal Yisrael, and they suddenly realize there's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. The Rambam is telling us, L'hoi yomim tovim liYisrael, the pshat. You know why it was such an unbelievable day? Only comparable to Yom Kippur. Because suddenly they realized that dark was going to come to an end. That there was mamish light at the end of the tunnel. Still, there was hope for the Jewish people. Bitchu v'nafshom is the lashon of the Rambam. It's unbelievable. Before they had emunah in Hashem, bitchu v'nafshom, suddenly they believed in themselves. Oh, they suddenly realized we're not a lost cause. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. He hasn't given up on us. So how can I give up on myself? Emunah in Hashem. But the realization, first and foremost, that I got to believe in myself. What's myself? Well, of course, what are you without HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yeah, we're nothing. We're nothing. But first and foremost, to realize, most people think, okay, Rebbeinu Shalom exists. Yeah, Hashem exists. He's there. But I'm a lowlife. I have so many avedus. I'm finished. So yeah, the Rebbeinu Shalom, yeah, and he's for the tzaddikim. But me? Bitchu b'nafshom. They understood, they believed in themselves. Oh, there's hope for me, even for me. And that was the turning point for Klal Yisrael. And all the other reasons the Gemara brings down are actually a manifestation. I'm not going to go through all the reasons. One of the reasons there is Kavura of Beitar as well. A funny thing. The Churban, everybody's destroyed. And Baruch Hashem, he managed to bury the Haruge Beitar. That's a reason for Simcha. That's a reason. Everybody got killed and you might, Baruch Hashem, they got burial. Yes. Because suddenly they realized it was a nace the way they had this burial. And there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu showing, yes, I know it's been terrible, but there's going to be light. It was all miyusad back then in this amazing Rambam at the end that the Rambam tells us that is, they believed in themselves and they understood that Kodesh Baruch Hu still was there and wanted the best for Klal Yisrael. And that, of course, is Elul. The first, foremost, and the most primary thing of Elul is to realize, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still, unbelievably, has not given up on Klal Yisrael, and he's not given up on us. Yechidim either. How could it be? Imagine a father whose child does the worst things, and he's back, and again, and again, and again, and the father still relentless with his Ahava. Relentless. That's the Aleph Sheba Aleph of Elul. Before you get to Noira, Yomim Noiraim, Mehatchala Ad Hasof, from the beginning to the end, it's Ahava. And this theme is echoed in the parasha. And we'll see it through the beautiful Orech Chaim. Because we'll start with the possibly the most unbelievable posik, if you're allowed to say that. You're probably not allowed to say it because every posik is unbelievable. But if there be one posik that that jumps out and says to you, look at this, it's incredible. It's the posik in the Teichacha that says, why is all this going to happen to Klal Yisrael? Every calamity you can imagine. Tachas Hashalom Vardos Hashem Akecho B'Simcha Ovetzov Leivov. You didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Simcha. I mean, if you take that on face value, that means he mamash davened the longest Shemona Esrei's. He davened, he learned the entire day, he did chesed to everybody, but he wasn't B'Simcha about being a Yid, about doing mitzvahs and Torah, so the Teichacha is going to come. I mean, what a line. The whole of, because you didn't serve Hashem B'Simcha. Imole Kosev, it wouldn't be written, we you just couldn't say such a thing. Because we have to understand the Aleph Sheba Aleph. That Elul is about realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Simcha and Ahava for us, and we should be B'Simcha. How can we be B'Simcha? All these things have happened to us, and we're the most terrible people. No, the Ahava is still there. If Hashem's Ahava is still there, then our Yiddishkeit has to be filled with Simcha. That's what the parasha is telling us. And you know what? It's going to be seen now. We're going to go through. The parasha of Bikurim is exactly the same. We're going to go through in detail what the Ramazim are in Parashas Bikurim. But the end of Parashas Bikurim says exactly what happens at the end. You bring your first fruit. And the last pasuk of the parasha is you bring your fruit and you tell the whole story. We left Mitzrayim, etc. But v'somachta b'chol ha'toiv. V'somachta, rejoice b'chol ha'toiv with the good. Hashem nosan l'cha Hashem l'kecha. Hashem has given us so much good. Be b'simcha. Be b'simcha. That is the message of Bikurim. But let us go through and have a look at a wonderful, beautiful Orech Chaim. The Olam might know it, but Chazor is the Ikka. And it's kedai to see this Orech Chaim. We're not going to go through all of it inside. If you have a chance, it's really worthwhile going through. And the Orech Chaim says, he says, I looked at this parsha of Bikurim. We know the story of Bikurim. You look at your first fruit, you bring it up to Yerushalayim, you present it to the Kohen, you come and you stand, you give a whole parsha and a whole story of Aram Yehovedovi. Yeah, I'm part of the Jewish people, we went to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and here I am with my first fruit. Okay. The Aruch Chaim says, I looked at this parasha, and what I saw in this parasha, I saw, al derech drush, that this parasha is speaking about life. Life itself. And the Aruch Chaim takes us through the psukim, and he says like this. He says, v'haya and it shall be. And by the way, v'haya is a lashon of simcha. Ki sovei el aretz, you'll come to the earth. You'll come, and ultimately you're going to come to the aretz. Now where's aretz? Aretz actually means, ultimately, Olam Habo. Eretz HaChaim. Right? The Eretz, the ultimate Eretz. Whenever we talk about getting to Eretz Yisrael, there's also remez, ultimately we're going to get to that Eretz. It's going to be the next world. V'hoya and it shall be. Ki Savil Eretz. And why is it Loshin Simcha? V'hoya is always Loshin Simcha. You know the famous film, The Gaon. I can't resist not saying The Gaon. The Gaon says, Vayehi is always Loshin Tsa'ar. Vayehi is bad. Vayehi b'machashveyush. It was negative. It wasn't good. V'haya is Loshin Simcha. That's what we're talking about in this parasha. So the Gaon explains, yeah, look at the Loshin. The Vav is the Vav HaHipuch, it's called. It turns the word into the opposite. Why? Because Yehi means it shall be. Vayehi means and it was. Yehi means it shall be. The Vav changes it into it was. So the Gaon, so why is that Loshin Tsar? Whenever you're having a hard time, a difficult time, what's the feeling that you have? You just want it to pass already. I just want this night to be over. You know those nights when you're chas v'shalom and not feeling well, they just last forever and ever. You just want it to be over already. Right? So, yehi, it shall be. You want it to be into the past. Vayehi, when you want it to be over already, that's Loshin Tzar. V'hoya is the word hoya. It's the past. But you transport it into the future. Meaning, it was, but you want it to live on forever. Happy moments, you just want to hold on to forever. V'haya is in the past, but the haya is the past, but V'haya turns it into the future. It's an expression of what you want to be. It's the simcha shaboy. It shows you're having a good time, right? You're besimcha. Okay, let's get back to the parasha. V'haya and it shall be. Loshin simcha. Why is it loshin simcha, says the Aruch Chaim? Because only then is the true simcha. When suddenly a person goes to the next world, he's now besimcha. Batischak l'yom acharon, as it's called as well. The true joy is going to be when we are released from the sheker and the nonsense and the garbage of the world that we are constricted and the hevel of this world. We move to the next world. He's going to give it to you as a nachalo. So what does this mean, to you as a nachalo? It means that even though we've done whatever we can, we've tried our mitzvahs, whatever it is, but you know what? Whatever we've done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep so much more on top. It's going to be like a matono. He's going to say to you, you did that mitzvah, you know that little smile you gave, you can't even remember it. That nice word you said to somebody. You know what the schar is going to be for that smile? Whoa, and you're going to get matonos tovus you've never seen. It's going to be like, asher noisen lecha, I'll give it to you. Meaning it's something that's going to be me'alam eiva, with the actual action that you did. Nachalo, it's an inheritance that's going to be for the eternity, the netzach, forever. So nachlas oilom. V'yirishtoi v'yashav tobo. And you're going to be there, v'yashav tobo. You're going to be dwelling there. As it says, tzadikim in the next world, tzadikim yashvim v'atrisayim v'rashem. Yashvim. The tzadikim in the next world sit there, v'atrisayim v'rashem. Why is oilom abo described as sitting in the next world? Because sitting means there's nowhere to go. It's so amazing, it's so delightful. There's nowhere else to go. You've reached your destination. In this world, in Odom, is called a hoilach. We're moving. We're trying to achieve one level to the next. But in the next world, it's v'yirishto v'yashav tobo. Tzadikim yayshvim v'atrisayim v'rashem. V'neinim iziv ashkino. You're yayshev. Interesting, the only place in this world that we call a yayshev is a yeshiva. Because that's the only place which is actually end point. You're in yeshiva. You're there. You're in the place. That's destination. Okay, but the next world is yeshiva. It's permanence. You're going to be there basking in the glory of the Shina. What happens? So the pasuk continues. You're going to take Mereshis Kopri Adomo. The Reshis, the choice of all your pagers. Of all the things you've done in this world, you've achieved things, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants those things that are Reshis, the things that were pure, the things that you did because you wanted the covered, you wanted the other things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, okay, we'll accept it. But what's really going to stand you in good stead in the next world are those choice things that you did. When it was 3 in the morning, Yeah, and everybody wants to get up for the baby. And after Pi Kein, you got up. And you didn't tell anybody about it. Then it wasn't newspaper headlines. Because Baruch Hu says, we took note of that one. And we took note of Maisim that didn't have all the, you know, all the fanfare attached to it. And you did it, Peshaket, and nobody knew about it. We took note. Meireishis called Pirat Adama. He also says the remez in Meireishis is reference to Torah as well. Torah which is called Reishis. You take from the Reishis, your choice. The choicest Maisim that we have, and often we don't even realize what the Maisim are. The Reishis is what we can present in the next world. Asher tov mi'atzcha, you're going to bring it from this land. Asher Hashem lekecha noisinach. What should you do? The samta batena, you're going to put it in a basket. V'halachta l'makom asher yivcha Hashem lekecha. So what does it mean you put it in a basket? It says the Or HaChaim. You put it in a basket means a remez, interestingly enough, tana is gematria shishim. A remez to Torah Shebal Peh, where we know there are shishim, 60 mesechtas. 60 mesechtas. So the samta batena is a reference to Torah Shebal Peh. That everything you did in this world was the samta batena, was done al pi chazal. You kept to the words of chazal, that's your basket within which you can present your maisim, the Torah that you've learned, the deeds that you've done. I did it all al pi harocha. I did it all according to chazal. I followed the chachamim. There's a story of Moshe Feinstein. You can imagine Rav Moshe Feinstein, everybody wanted Rav Moshe's bracha. So one time a woman came to Rav Moshe and said, okay, I haven't had children for many years. Rebbe, you have to give me a bracha. So listen, Rav Moshe is not a Rebbe. Rav Moshe was a Rav Moshe Feinstein. But he said, look, what can I tell you? I can't give you a bracha. I can't assure you that you're going to have a child. She says, you are the God Lador. You brachas count. If you give me a bracha, I know I can have a child. He says, I can't assure you. What can I tell you? I can't. I'm not about my face. You know, she said, Rebbe, she didn't say Rebbe, she said, Rebbe, your brachas count. And she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally, Rav Moshe said, listen, all I can tell you is, in the zechus of your emunas chachomim, that you're so certain that chazal have a koyach, so in that merit of emunas chachomim, you should have a child. And of course she had a child, right? Of course. But the nekuda is, having an understanding that everything we do is al pi chazal. We do things up in Chazal. And the Rabbonon, we often don't understand the Rabbonons. But the Rabbonon hid so many things. The Megale Tefach and Mechasa so much more. You know, the Vilna Gaon writes about certain halachas. He says, do never be mezalzal in any halacha. Because even if Chazal give a reason for it, there's so many things that are hidden behind it. And he speaks about specifically, actually, about the interesting halacha of things that are left out overnight. And the Gemara says you shouldn't have liquids that have been exposed overnight. You shouldn't have them because snakes might have deposited poisons. Yeah, everybody, yeah, the cynics amongst us. Yeah, you look at it, yeah, snake, you know, where's the nearest snake here? Anybody seen any snakes around? Snake poison? We're still worried about such things? And the Vilna Gaon says, do not be mezalzel. It's referring to very deep things. Chazal will often say things, benigle, they'll say the reason is because X, Y, and Z. But there's so much more they're often not saying. And he's very, very makpid on that halacha. And many others do not be mazals and derabonons. Chazal knew what they were talking about. We often don't understand the godliness of Chazal. That's our problem. So the samta batena, it's got to be batena in the basket within the context of Chazal. Uvasa la kohen, you come to the kohen, he describes that there's a kohen, there's a malach that receives a person in the next world, asheyir ba'yom mahin v'amati lov, you have to say to him, there's a din b'cheshbon, and then the din starts. Higad ha'yom Hashem l'kecha, I've come now, ki vasi l'aretz, asher nishba Hashem l'avasin l'os islonu, I've come here. And the kohen says, fine, let me see your ma'isim tovim. But then the din begins. V'anisa v'amati, you have to answer. V'anisa v'amati, you have to answer. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know, there's a yesh din v'yesh dayan, there's going to have to be a proper court case. And we're going to have to say, look, we didn't do everything correct. There was an Arami. Yeah, in Pashup Shah it's referring to Lavon. But Arami, a Ramoi, a trickster. A Ramoi, a deceiving individual who chased Ovi, my father. And that's a reference to the Yetzer Hara that chased either Adam or Rishon, or he says, or refers to the Neshama itself. And Neshama tricks us. We say, Rabbi Yishan, I didn't realize. I was tricked. Arami Ovidavi, Ramoi. This Yetzer Hara came and it convinced me of so many different things. He seduced me and made me do all things that I didn't want to do. He pulled me down. The Yetzer Hara is called, in Gemara, in Sukkah says, it's called the Tzafaini, the hidden one. Why is he hidden? The Gemara says, because he's hidden amongst us, in us. The best place to hide is, he pretends he's us. The Yetzer Hara doesn't say, I'll go do that Avera. He doesn't say, you should do that Avera. We say it. We say, I need to do this. I need to do that. He's mamash hidden within us. It's the best form of robbing a bank. You basically rise to the top, you become the managing director, and then you steal all the money. Chas v'shalom, of course. Right? But the point is, it's in-house. That's exactly what happens in the Yetzer Hara. A little bit, he moves in slowly, slowly, and by the way, that's exactly the pshat of the Ur HaChaim. Vayogo shom. He brought me, vayer mitzrayimah. He brought me down to mitzrayimah. A constricted place. A place of a Yetzer Hara. A place of mitzorim. Mitzrayim is constricted. He didn't let me be my neshama. He controlled me. Vayogo shom bim seimot. We just dwelled there for a couple of years. The Yetzer Hara says, just do this. No, 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 don't break Shabbos. Not the big things. A little by little, as the Gemara says. He gets his foot in the door. Just like Pari said. No, it's not going to be. Come and work for me. It'll be fine. We'll even pay you. Slowly but surely, we know what Pari did to us. The Yetzer Hara gets his foot in the door. Vayogar Shom. And the Yetzer Hara, that's what he does to us. He slowly but surely gets his foot in the door and makes it worse. And then suddenly, after a while, it's not just a little bit of control. It's mamish full whack. The Yetzer Hara takes complete control. It goes through the Ur HaChaim, goes through all the details here of all these lashonos. We haven't got time to go through them. But the Yetzer Hara mamish takes over. And then the only way out is Vanitzakel Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, that a person realizes that il mole Hashem oizoi lo yochaloi, as the Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no way we could get out. So we cry out to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you want me to do? I have so many tithes, I do so many things that Yetzer Hara wants me to do. I can't. Hashem says, Vanitzakel Hashem? Ah. Then, Vayishma Hashem is koileinu. He's his, our voice, that's our tefillah. Vayaris on yeinu. He sees how much we're suffering from the Yetzer Hara. Ve'es amaleinu, and he also sees amaleinu, says the Ur HaChaim, is a reference to our melus in learning Torah. We're trying, we're doing what we can. Then, there's a hope. Ve'yitzein Hashem in Mitzrayim. He can take us out. Then he says, beautifully, Biyad chazokah v'zoyin aturah v'maragadol oisus v'maisim. Each one of these is a reference to different mitzvahs, based on the Gemara Menachos. The Ur HaChaim says, Biyad chazokah is the Torah. Mimino eish tos lomay. Zerayon Tzuyah is a reference to Tefillin. The Tefillin Shal Yad. Moira Godel, the Tefillin are called Moira. Tefillin Shal Rosh. He then says, Ba'aisais refers to Tzitzis. Maivsemi is a reference to Mezuzah. All the mitzvahs that try and extricate us from being brought down by this world. And finally we can say, Ba'ata Hineh Vesis Reishis Pri Adama. Now I've come, I've made it out of this world, and I present to you Reishis Pri Adama, my Maisim Tovim. And this is it's the battle of this world that we present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we manage to get through, and we manage to be victorious, and we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can say, Vinacht, and then Hashem will say, fine, you've made it through. We put it down, then we will rejoice with that Pri Adama forevermore, Lenetzach Netzachim. The Ur HaChaim doesn't just see a story of a man coming to Yerushalayim with fruit. He sees lessons for life. Proti protim he goes through. But the ikka is to realize, well, how does this relate to Elul, like we said before, v'samachta b'chala toiv? That the whole purpose of this whole world with the Yetzer Hara and everything else is to get to that point where finally we can actually get to v'samachta b'chala toiv, to rejoice with the ultimate good that we have achieved in this world. But the only way to achieve that is The way to achieve that is with Vanitzak El Hashem. We have to cry out to Hashem with Tefillah. Elul is a month of Tefillah. And it has to be Ves Amaleinu and Torah. I can't resist telling you, Rabbi Isai, just today, Shtikul Chizuk that I got. It was Zeicher today, one of the Chaburas that we were learning with today, a bunch of boys, ages 14 to 18. We had 35 boys learning in the Beis HaMedrash. It was a voluntary program. And We had half an hour shiur. Then afterwards, they learned together by chavrusa. That everybody was learning the whole hour of chavrusa. Everybody was learning. The room was abuzz with Torah. And I made sure I tested almost every boy. We did an omud of Gemara, and almost every boy, because I didn't have time to test everybody, almost every boy knew that Gemara Baal Peh. And one of the boys, everybody was amazing. And then somebody pointed that boy and said, you know that boy's in the J4? And J4, J1 is top, so I'll just let you make the cheshbonis, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Not 2, not 3, 4. This boy told me this Gemara, this omud of Gemara Baal Peh. Baal Peh, a J4 boy, an Omid of Gemara Baal Peh. In 1 hour he sat there, he didn't waste a single moment, he tells me the Gemara, the Omid of Gemara Baal Peh, Mika Amcha Yisrael. That we live in such a pathetically Tomei society. And a boy from the J4, and all the other boys living in a world of total schmutz and rubbish, can get up there with proud and simcha, and can learn a whole hour, and can get up and repeat over an Omid of Gemara Baal Peh. At age 14, 15, we're not living in Volozhin. We're living in, you know where we're living. Mika Amcha Yisrael. Esamoleinu. Eilu Habonim. Taka we say. Esamoleinu. We have it in us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be besimcha. And to enjoy our Yiddishkeit. But we've got to make that first step. It's ani ledoidi vedoidi li. Shuvu elai v'ashuvu aleichem. Hashem wants to see you make that first step. And let's end with one last story of understanding, making that first step. To realize it's all going to be besimcha. And it's got to be, why are we reading this parasha? What do we gain from this parasha? We gain from the parasha of Kisavai, a realization of where is it all at? Where are we going towards? It's not just a story about fruit, it's life. Where are we going towards in Elul? We've got to remember, what's it all about? It's about Reishis Pri Adama, the choice is fruit, our Maisim Tovim, our Torah, those are the things that count. That's what we're going to take to the next world. That's what we're going to take with us. That's where we really want to be investing. That's what Kisavai teaches us of the parasha of Bikurim. Where are we going? Where are we heading? That's where we have to be with Elul. But we've got to make that first step, and let's end with a story. A favorite story of mine, because it's just a beautiful story. A story I saw in with Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Beautiful story. The story was that there was a non-religious girl who was going out with... She was actually engaged. She was engaged to an Israeli Arab. Now, it happened in... still happens, unfortunately. It was in the days, what they used to do is these boys would basically... They wouldn't tell them they were Arab. Yeah, they would just get together. And after a while, when the relationship had been, you know, solid, after months, they would then sort of disclose the fact that they're very lovely Arabs. Of course, they love everybody else. And then they would slowly bring them into the society, etc. And the family found out that she was engaged, not just to a non-Jew, but to an Israeli Arab, and the family were just in shock, mamish in shock. They didn't know what to do. So the mother said, listen, and they tried every argument in the book. You can't marry this guy. She was like, I love him, what can I tell you? He's a lovely guy, come and meet him. The family couldn't cope. The mother just said, look, the only thing I can tell you is, last shot in the dark, do me one favor, go and visit Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Now you're talking about somebody who's about to marry a goy. Right, you don't pop on the bus to Bnei Brak and go visit Rebbetzin Kanievsky if you're going to marry a goy. It's just not like, doesn't really go together. You know what, my parents are driving me crazy, I'll do one thing for them. I'll go and visit Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Beseda. She goes and visits Rebbetzin Kanievsky and she sits there and she says, "Nu, what year?" And she said, look, my parents are not happy, I'm dating this guy, we want to get married. I'm just here because they want... She tries every argument in the book, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, mamash. She sits there for the whole hour, she's crying and whatever she can say. And the girl's sitting there, "Nu, okay, yeah, I knew you'd say this, whatever you say, Shkaya, thank you, yeah, okay." After 1 hour, Rebbetzin Kanievsky sees, she's not getting anywhere. We're finishing right now. She's not getting anywhere. She sees it. She says, look, I see nothing I've said has made any difference. One thing I ask of you, one thing. Every day for the next month, I want you to say one kapitel Tehillim, one chapter of Tehillim. Whatever one you want, say one chapter of Tehillim for the next month. Just do that for me. She said, you're right. Goodbye. And that's it. She went away. She came back. She came back a week later. She says, Rebbetzin, it's all off. I'm not marrying the guy, not interested at all. So Rebbetzin says, what happened? I gave you every argument in the book, I cried my eyes out. Everything I said, you just rolled your eyes, nodded your head, and just nothing. Blank as anything. And you come back a week later, it's all off. What happened? She says, Rebbe, I have to tell you something. I went home and I thought to myself, one Tehillim. I'm not saying Tehillim. No, she said one Tehillim. So I opened up my Tehillim. I said, you know what, I'll say a short Tehillim. You look for a short chapter. I'm going to say a Kufyud Tess, right? I'll say a little Tehillim. So I looked open. I opened up the Masa, or the Masa. I opened up the Tehillim. And I saw Tehillim Mem Gimel. I'll go for that one. It's pretty short. Yeah? I'll go for that one. So, Tehillim Mem Gimel. Five Sukkim. I opened up. And I forgot a key point of the story. Her name was Riva. That was her name. Riva. Her name was Riva. I opened up and the first thing I read was this. Shofteini Elokim, judge me Hashem, v'Riva Rivi. And judge, take my vengeance. But it also says Riva. That's her name, right? Riva Rivi. She's thinking, oh, Riva, straight away. Okay. Take my vengeance. Riva Rivi. Mi goy lo chosid, from a nation that is not righteous, me ish mirma, from a man of deceit, v'avlo. A man of deceit and avlo, and sin. Deceit. Remember, we're talking about the man, the Arab, who was the one that deceived her in the first place, never told her he was Arab, and only later on. Tefalteini, save me. Well, she read those psukim and she almost fainted. She opens up to Hillim and she sees Rivo Rivi, and save me from a man of deceit and avlo. She couldn't believe it. She closed it to Hillim, she called it all off. An amazing story. But what do you see from that story? Of course there's many things to learn from there, and Rebbe Zinkanievsky, etc., and the tears, and who knows what. But one thing you see, she made one small step. She said, you know what, I'll go to the Rebbetzin. You know what, I'll say the Tehillim. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, you made one step, so I'm going to make a step towards you as well. Shuvu Eilai, v'ashuva Aleichem. One small step, the Rebbeinu Shalom says. Pischulu Pesach Yechidosh Machat, and I'll come towards you. Riva Rivi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu smacked her between the eyes. We just got to make that first step. That's Elul. To make that first step. To realize that Yiddishkeit is besimcha. And besimachta b'chala toiv is the end point. And that's what we want to get to. So yes, it's Yomim Neiroim. But let's put it in context. It's context of Ahava. Of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. And if we can make that step. And we can put in context Parashas Kisava and realize this is where we're going. This is where we're aiming for. Then we've understood the message of Elul and the message of Rosh Hashanah. Let's get our priorities. Let's make our aims where we're supposed to be going in the right direction. Let's invest in the things that we're supposed to be investing in. Reishis Pri Adama. And make that right step. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make that step towards us. We should be zeicha to have a simcha in all of our Yiddishkeit.